First of all, I just would like the congregation and all the small group leaders to take note that on Wednesday, I would really like us to have a fast, a congregational fast. Wednesday from 6 o'clock the morning till 6 the evening as a congregation. So I would like all the small group leaders just to get to all the people so that we can fast for the Sunday evening, especially for that event. And what I want you to pray about is to pray for the event, but also that God will take our church's worship to another level. I'm really sensing that God is wanting to do that. And there's a part that He wants us to reach beyond when it comes to Him. And there's something that He wants to teach us. And I spoke with the worship team, and I just told them God also wants to take them to another level. But in your private worship, and then in our public worship, I really believe God wants to take us. So as a congregation, we're going to fast together from Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, until you get to small group. Then I want all the small groups to break the fast there. Then you can eat there, and I want you to break bread. So please get the communion. All the small group leaders, you buy communion, or I don't know how you're going to organize it. But then you break bread at that small group. And then I want us just in that small group to pray and just to trust God for mighty miracles. You know, for us as a congregation and for where we are going. So I hope all the small group leaders took note of that. It's really important that we get together. And because worship is a us thing, it's not a my thing. Worship is a us thing, it's not a my thing. It's our Father, it's our bread. It's we. And so we must come together as one. One accord, one voice. So that is really important that we do understand that as in congregation. It's not me, myself, and I. That's never the gospel. It's us, and it's about church. And it's not about one man's vision, but it's about God's vision for what God wants to do. So please, people, we need to pull together in these last days for what God's going to do. And I'm trusting God that after Sunday evening, there will just be a shift happening within our hearts. And I really want to thank you, David, for just praying that prayer of the shift that is coming within our hearts. So much needs to change in the church about who God is and what He wants to do. And so since last year, we've been preaching on certain themes. And if you have a pen, I would just like you to write down the themes that we've been preaching on since last year. The first theme was understanding grace. Last year we had a whole lot of grace messages. The second theme that we've been preaching on was becoming missional. In other words, going out and just preaching the gospel. That was the second theme. The third theme was about accountability that I started with this year. And then the fourth theme that I also started with last year was family. Being a family and becoming a family. Now, a lot of people think when I've stopped preaching about grace, I preach about family, then, oh, grace. No, we must leave grace now. No, we're building. And I'm going to take it much slower in my preaching and what in teaching and what we're going to do until everybody understands grace, until everybody understands accountability, until everybody understands what it means to become a family. Everybody must understand it. You can't understand everything, but until the Holy Spirit says, now we can go on to preach about something else. Otherwise, we're not going to move on. Everybody must understand where we are going, what do we want to do, and why God expects it of us. So I want to make that clear. Even if it means if I have to preach two sermons, the same sermon twice, I'll do that. So that we can grow in this thing. Because this is really important for me. We run through things. We don't pray through. We don't work through things. And I'm trusting God for this. So this evening I'm going to talk about family. What is Christian fellowship? We're a family. And I'm coming back to this theme now. And I want to talk about what is fellowship. Let's first read Psalms 55 verse 14. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. And then Acts chapter 2 verse 42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. And I want to focus on fellowship. What it means to be in fellowship as a family. Now, fellowship has lost its meaning in today's church. When we say fellowship, we think about braai and choppies. And we think about eating cookies together. We think about fellowship is drinking coffee afterwards. That is not fellowship. You know what that is? Drinking coffee afterwards. That's all that it is. It's important to braai. It's important to spend time together drinking coffee and chatting. But that is not fellowship. So, fellowship is not something that you do. It's an issue of the heart. Fellowship is a heart issue. And if you read that scripture in Acts chapter 2 verse 42, it was a priority in the early church. Because scripture teaches that they were continually devoting themselves. It's something that they did continuously. So we must look at this now so that we can have an understanding of what fellowship is and why it is important. Are you with me? I also want to tell you this. Fellowship is something spiritual. It's not a natural thing. And then the second thing, if anybody thinks more highly of himself, if anybody does not regard God as holy and with respect, if anybody does not regard other people higher than himself or herself, then you cannot have fellowship. It's impossible. Because fellowship is not for lone rangers. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called fellowship. You with me? You can't have fellowship if you're a lone ranger. You can even be with people and not have fellowship with them. You can be with people at that braai. Braaiing your choppies and your steak, and then you don't have fellowship. You can even watch television together and scream for the Stormers. Hey, go Stormers. But then you don't have fellowship. You like a team. You like meat. But you don't have fellowship. So we need to look at this evening. A person who thinks he is more important than the church, the small group, and certain individuals will never be able to have fellowship. In other words, there's so many people nowadays, they're egocentric. It's all about themselves. They don't care about Christ. And I'll tell you why this is important. Because fellowship in the New Testament church, if you look at the definition, it means it is an association based upon sharing of something in common. An association based upon the sharing of something in common. There is our fellowship is defined within the church, and we will look at that more closely. So when we look at that, and if we look at the word fellowship, the Greek word, and the Hebrew word as it's being used in the Old and the New Testament, four things pop up. The first one that pops up is relationship. There's four key ideas. The first one is relationship. The second one is partnership. And the other one is companionship. And then also stewardship. That is it when we talk about fellowship. Those four key areas. And we'll look at that. We won't do an in-depth study, but we'll look at that this evening. So let's start with relationship. Relationship is the foundation for fellowship. I just want to say this also. Relationship, when it comes to fellowship, doesn't mean friendship. A lot of people think friendship is fellowship. Friendship is not fellowship. Friendship is something else. Are you with me? So, relationship, this is the foundation for fellowship. So, let's read 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. Now listen to what the Apostle John says. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know why do we have fellowship? We have fellowship because we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. We have fellowship because we have fellowship with Jesus. That just simply means you can't have fellowship with the world. We'll look at that later on. You cannot. Friendship doesn't necessarily mean that you can have fellowship with somebody if you're somebody's friend. Not if that person doesn't follow Jesus Christ. So, fellowship is a relationship that we have with the Father. That is our first connecting point. Our first connecting point is the fact that we worship Jesus. So, fellowship is about who you worship. And who you worship is who you are. If you worship money, then you're money. If you worship a person, then you're that person. But if you worship Jesus, we know who you are. And so, everybody that worships Jesus, we can have fellowship with them. That means that we have fellowship with Christians in China. We have fellowship with Christians in England. We have fellowship with Christians in America. Why? Because they follow Jesus. So, we are related to God through our worship and shared experiences with Him. You know, this is something that I wish I could talk to more people about. And the reason why I don't preach on fellowship so much, you know why? I'll tell you. Because, you know, people talk with you about Jesus and about what God said and what God wants them to do. And then the two of us, we pursue this together, but somewhere along the line, they drop you. And then this fellowship thing gets broken down because they don't understand that what binds us together is love for God. Now, if God told you this, and I'm trusting you, God said that to you, then why are you breaking this relationship here, this trusting? In other words, if you didn't hear from God, then we tell each other, I think I did not hear from God. Are you with me what I'm explaining you when it comes to fellowship as a trust issue in worshiping God? Are you with me? I'm not talking let you yes be yes and no be no. That's something else. I'm talking about a trust relationship that we have because we have fellowship because of the Son, Jesus Christ. So, we have fellowship regardless of our spiritual experiences, the mature and the immature. In other words, if a young baby Christian comes into small group, you have fellowship with him. Why? Why? Because he's following Jesus now. It doesn't mean you have to be friends to have fellowship. Are you with me? That's the first thing that we need to remember. Have fellowship with somebody because they serve Jesus. That's the starting point. You don't have fellowship because you drink coffee together. Are you with me? So, how we relate to God, our relationship with God, is the foundation of how we relate to each other. We must have relationship with God before we can have fellowship with each other. We must have relationship with God before we can have fellowship with each other. If there's a breakdown in your relationship with God, I can guarantee you there will be a breakdown in fellowship with each other. You with me? Right. Secondly, it's a partnership. Partnership is how we relate to each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In other words, I come to small group. We have an understanding that we worship God. And so the Holy Spirit now tells me, I want you to pray for somebody. And then you say, look, I'm sensing God is saying that we must pray for somebody. I'm just trying to explain this. So immediately when you say you want to pray for somebody, it stirs my spirit. Then I say, okay, go for it. You know why can I tell you to go for it and pray for people? We're having fellowship. Because of the Holy Spirit. It's not something demonic. That is why when there's demonic spirits, your spirit tells, picks up on it. You're just sensing, hey, we can't have fellowship. We can't have fellowship with the doctrines of demons, Scripture teaches. Are you with me? So, how we relate to each other is determined by the Holy Spirit, but also, James, Cephas, and John. Cephas was Peter. Those esteemed as pillars gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. When they recognized the grace given to me, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. In other words, the Apostle Paul is writing about Peter. He's writing about James and Barnabas. In other words, he says, because of the fellowship, because of the grace that was given to me. It also means when we have fellowship, and we're talking about partnership now. When we have that partnership, the Holy Spirit and the giftings and the way we've been called, that binds us together. Are you with me? In other words, the Apostle Paul is apostolically, he's a church planter. Peter operates as an evangelist. James is an excellent teacher because of the grace that's been given to them. That is why they can extend the right hand of fellowship to Paul. So if you remember the story, Paul goes to them and then everybody in Jerusalem is scared of Paul because Paul persecuted the church. But then Barnabas says, hey, this man's following Christ. We can have fellowship with him. He's a brilliant, brilliant church planter. We need to take note of this. So when it comes to fellowship and pursuing destiny as partners, we can do anything. If the Holy Spirit remains number one in and amongst us. And I'll tell you, you know why it's important that I bring this message to you? I'll tell you why. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And we'll see how that scripture ends, but it's something so important. If you don't know how to relate to other people and if you don't know what the giftings, callings are on somebody's life when it pertains to the Holy Spirit and to fellowship. They had also had fellowship in preaching the gospel. And it's really important to this. Carnal Christians cannot function as partners. You cannot be a partner with a carnal Christian. It's really difficult. If somebody does not hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, if they don't have a relationship with Jesus, if they don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's really difficult to convey to people like that spiritual things. It's really difficult. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about spiritual Christians that has another spirit amongst the Holy Spirit. There's another spirit that they operate from, and it's really difficult to connect with them. You can't have fellowship with them. Now, really important, watch this. If we have fellowship in small group, what will be the enemies of our partnership, our relationship with the Lord and with each other? Is great. Now we're at partnership. What will be the enemies of spiritual partnership? The first enemy will be similar personalities. We don't have to have similar personalities to pursue the gospel. You don't have to have the same personality as I have. You know, many times I have to talk with people and just tell them, look, the person just have another personality. Make room for the person's personality. Now, but when you look at it carnally, then that personality, it will drive you crazy. But you must look at the spirit. Does the person have the Holy Spirit in Jesus? If the person have the Holy Spirit in Jesus, you can even in Pakistan connect with somebody. And I'll tell you why is it important that you know this. Because when dark days come, friends will be few. Blood used to be thicker than water. It's not thicker than water anymore. Nowadays, you can't even trust your own family. And I'm not telling you to write your family off. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying, people, if you don't connect with people spiritually, if you don't know who to connect with, you're in big trouble if you look at things carnally. Are you with me? I'm not teaching to write your I'm not teaching you to leave your family. I'm not teaching that. I'm talking about being wise. So you can't judge if somebody's a Christian by their personality. Paul was a weird man. Peter was weirder. You know? He never used to know when to keep his mouth shut. He always said stuff out of divine order. And God had patience with him because God understood his personality. But it doesn't mean that your personality must be. The second one, the spiritual partnership, is common likes. We don't have to like the same thing. We pursue the same vision, but you can like Nike, and I can like Reebok. There's no problem with it. You know, we laugh about this, but do you know how many people cannot gel with other people because they look at the flesh? They can't connect with other people because they look fleshly at people. And so Jesus, that is why God says, look here, Samuel, listen very carefully to me. I don't judge personalities or outward appearances. I look at the heart because the heart connects with my spirit. I'm looking at the spirit. And when you anoint the young boy David. It's as simple as that. Then another enemy is common interests. You don't have to be interested in everything and anything else about that someone. Are you with me? Another enemy is common opinions. Our opinions can differ. But our God cannot differ. Our God cannot differ. Then we cannot have fellowship. Our Jesus cannot have differ, and neither the Holy Spirit. Because if it's not the Holy Spirit, then what spirit is it? That I want to know. What is the spirit so that we can have fellowship? Is there another one? Unhealthy friendships. Now, this is big within the church. We think we have fellowship because we're friends, and there's unhealthy friendships within church. People have unhealthy friendships with one another. No, I'll never pray with you. She's not my friend. Are you looking at a friend or are you seeing the person's spirit? Are you not keeping the gift that in that person that can help you? Withholding it. Huge challenge for so many people. I can't tell this person. I'm not saying you must tell anybody everything, but I can't tell this person this thing. I cannot know. And I know a lot of people have been hurt because of trust relationships. And that is a problem within the church. Difficult to trust people. But you know what? I'm past that. If I tell you something private and you talk about it, God will judge you on that day if you don't repent. I move on. I have fellowship with you in the gospel, in the spirit with Jesus Christ. I move on. If I shared with you and I tell you, look, I trust you, pray this with me, please. And I've shared stuff with people and I can see their eyes, they're a bit uncomfortable. But it's not about being open and you know, it's about me allowing the Holy Spirit in somebody else to minister to me because I make myself vulnerable. It's not an unhealthy friendship. Some people can only pray with certain people. I've seen this. They only run to that. It's an unhealthy friendship. Secondly, it's a dependency relationship. A dependency relationship. Codependency. Something so unhealthy within the church. And that, it just destroys spiritual partnership. Now, it's interesting when it comes to the way Jesus chooses his disciples. Scripture says, when Jesus spoke with Peter, you can read it in Luke chapter 4 and 5. You can go read it on your own. Very interesting story. Peter, they don't catch any fish. Then Jesus says, did you catch any fish? No, Master, we toiled the whole evening. We're so tired. And then Jesus says, now throw the net into the other side. You know, now Peter's standing there. He's thinking, God, Jesus, you're so unnecessary now. I've worked the whole evening. You know, Jesus, I don't have money. I don't have money to take home. I have no fish. I can't feed my family. I have to get home now and my wife. Now, Scripture also teaches us that Peter's mother-in-law stayed with him. So now man's thinking, and Jesus, my mother-in-law, she's there, and I don't have any food. Ooh, I'm in trouble. Ooh, Jesus. And then Peter says, okay, I'll do this. Then they catch fish. But now something interesting happens. Scripture said they signaled to their partners. I think Jesus knew who he wanted to choose because they were already in partnership within the world. His 12 disciples, they all knew fishing. Partners, Jesus, they signaled their partners. Now, once again, Jesus never looked at the flesh, but he saw the spirit with which God created them so that they can be one in this partnership. It was never an unhealthy relationship, an unhealthy friendship. Are you with me? Are you with me? You understand that one? Okay. Then, let's talk about companionship. Companionship is our communication with God and each other. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all our sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Walking in the light is something really important when it comes to companionship, the other leg of fellowship. So it speaks there of obedience. If we're not obedient to Christ, then we can't have fellowship. It's really difficult to have, you know, fellowship with people that's not obedient with Christ, to what Christ says. Are you with me? But now, for obedience, for disobedience, there's repentance. But for continued obedience, for continuous obedience, what do you do? I mean, you can't put a heat into a fridge. It's really difficult. But then it also talks of accountability. We must walk in the light. People want to have fellowship, but they don't want to walk in the light. How does that work? Who have that killer? They don't want to walk in the light. They don't want to be honest, but they want to have fellowship. I'm talking about Christians now. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking to Christians this evening. If you think I'm talking, no, I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking to people out there. They don't want to walk in the light, but they want to have fellowship. And then Scripture's very clear. If you're not obedient and you don't walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse you. If you just flight that scripture again. I just wanted to see it from Scripture. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sin. Now, the previous one. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies. You see, it's really simple. I'm obedient. I live in the light. I'm accountable. Then the blood of Jesus. When I don't do that, the blood of Jesus cannot purify me. The blood of Jesus cannot help me. And so what we try to do, and this is what I love about fellowship, because now the brother can ask you, but you're not talking the truth. You're lying through your teeth. There's something wrong within your heart, my bro. And then all that you need to do is say, yes, please keep me accountable. I repent. I want the blood of Jesus. Then the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. It's really simple. But our people want to dodge what the Holy Spirit is doing within their lives. They want to dodge it. They don't know that we have fellowship because both of us said yes to Jesus. Like the first scripture said. And so now they want to dodge you. The problem is that Jesus, from our side, looks to our potential because He wants to cleanse us and purify us. Now, from our side, that's a problem. You know why? Because we don't think He's looking at the potential. We think He's looking at the sin. But now He's placed you in the body so that you can grow. And it's like Sia said this morning, we dodge. We don't want to have relationship. But we want to have fellowship in terms of braying. And I'm not saying please bray. I'm just saying we'll do all the nice stuff, but we won't talk about the right stuff. And when we do talk about the right stuff, soos Afrikaans sê, ons wip ons stert. You don't have the right to tell me this. I do have the right, because you know why do I have the right? Can I tell you why I have the right to talk about people that we're walking in fellowship with? Can I tell you? Because we serve Jesus together. That is why I have the right. As a brother. That is why I have the right to pull this chain, to sit you down and to say, what you're doing is wrong now. Now what you must do is you must listen to Jesus. It's the same with me when a brother talks to me and tell me, look here, this is wrong in your life, Carlos. Then I must be open to receive. Because we serve Jesus together, because the Holy Spirit is in Him, and because there's gifts. It's everything that we talked about now. Then I must say yes. But as soon as I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit, I'm not listening to Jesus, I'm disobedient, and I don't want to be accountable, then I'll get angry and I say, I don't want to be cleansed. That is how simple it is. Fellowship, oh, it's a beautiful thing. And then the last one is stewardship. When you're in fellowship, you must share. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them. Yes, like it, people. I really trust in God that we will get to that place of abundant grace. There's grace, there's great grace, and it talks about abundant grace. For there was not a needy person. Now, when's the church going to come to that? God, you help us that there be no needy persons. Wow. For all who were owners of land, of houses, who sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each. I just wanted to say this. Nobody can force anybody to sell his land or his house and bring it. The people that did this, they did it voluntarily. A person that's a Christian that has fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ freely gives. You don't need to be forced. Now, a lot of people say this is socialism. Like in Red China, everything belongs to everyone. No, everything doesn't belong to everyone. This is my cell phone. So you can't take my cell phone and just phone somebody without asking me. That's rude. Now, there's a lot of Christians that lives like that. They talk to you and they always want to make you feel guilty, but you can give this to me. You have, I don't have. That's wrong. I stop people like that. I tell them, you're arrogant and you're rude. That is not what Jesus teaches. I don't go sleep at night worrying about, no. Did I do bad with this brother? Was I bad with him? Was I not rude? I don't do that. I stop a brother like that. And I tell him, you're proud and you're arrogant. I owe you nothing. In terms of my stewardship, when it comes to me being a manager, I must manage it. And if the Lord lays it on my heart, I will give to you freely. And that is what happened here. And another thing, there was a grave teaching that went out that you must bring the money to the feet of the prophet. Now that's wrong. If I'm here and now you must bring money to my feet, and I've seen this, that is of the devil. It doesn't belong in church. Where people teach and then the guys, they sit there and then they must bring the money. And No. That is not of the Lord. I'm saying, it goes to the storehouse. It belongs to God's house, to the storehouse. And from there it can be distributed. Because that is the church. But there was a great mishap in this teaching that happened. Grave sin, And that is wrong. And we'll never do it here. We will never do it like that. I'm just saying that to you. And I'm also just saying, please don't sell your house. I'm not telling you to sell your house or sell your car for anybody. If God says so, do it. Be obedient. But what I can tell you is that the guys that had fellowship within the New Testament church, they freely gave. They were stewards, Just listen to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28. Beautiful scripture. You steals must no longer steal. But watch this. But rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something. You know why we need to work? We need to work so that we can share. It's the first thing that scripture teaches. If you don't have work, and you do get work, when you start working, you mustn't sleep. But why should you work? So that you will have something to share with one who has need. You work so that you can share with somebody that has need. You work so that you can share with somebody that has need. Are you with me? It's a stewardship principle. Because you have fellowship. It's your brother. In the household of faith. That you need to help. And then we can talk about the widows. And we can talk about the orphans. But just on a basic level, when it comes to sharing, as the church in the New Testament, we work so that we can share and bless other people. That is how it works. It's a stewardship principle. My word, can you see how far we've moved from having true fellowship? I'm trusting God that He will bring this back and that we will understand. The challenge is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? So from Scripture we learn that you cannot have fellowship with worldly systems, evil philosophies. You can't have fellowship with them. But now does that mean we have to leave? No. It's just when it comes to the first one that we talked about. It's really difficult to talk about matters of the heart and matters of the kingdom with somebody that doesn't serve Jesus. It is a truth. But now, Scripture also teaches. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9, God is faithful who has called you into the fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody is called into fellowship. We never created fellowship. We don't create fellowship, we called into fellowship. So what do we do? We must relate to people outside of the church in such a way so that they will hear the call. That is our responsibility. we talk with them and the way we connect with each other, that will help them to hear the call. Oh, and then when they respond to that call, they come into the fellowship. Are you with me? It's a real simple teaching that I'm laying before you this evening. I won't go any further, but I'm trusting God to get this thing right. We must have fellowship with one another so that the world can see. The world does not teach this. The world teaches A-E-I-O-U. I owe you and you owe me. And so there's a lot of Christians that I talk to and then I can see it's a worldly way of thinking. They don't understand true fellowship. And that must go out of church. You with me? So when people come here, then they must see, oh, look at the beautiful relationship. Everyone is unique with their unique gifts. Nobody is more important than the other person. Everybody has a function in this church. I love this. Where can I belong? Please tell me, where can I belong? Because we belong to family. And then the second thing, just look at their beautiful partnership. He prays, he preaches. She sings, she bakes bread. He's hospitable. This is a beautiful partnership. I want this partnership. And then companionship. How we relate, how we worship together, how we worship privately. And I've never seen people that share so freely. They just give and give, and they always have. So that is why we cannot be yoked together with people that don't understand it, but our lifestyle can draw them to the call. Are you with me? We can't run away from the world. That is it for this evening. I'm trusting God to bring this back to church. Fellowship. And that people have a right understanding of it. And I'm going slower because we're part of the body. We recognize each other. We pray for one another. We love one another. And guys, it's really simple. I'm going to keep it simple. You know, if Jesus is not number one and if the Holy Spirit's not number one, then we don't have fellowship. If Jesus is not number one and if the Holy Spirit is not number one, God is not number one, if we're not called into this, if Scripture's not obeyed, then we can't have fellowship. Then it's a meeting with an agenda, with different agendas. My agenda, your agenda, his agenda. But if Jesus is there and it's the Holy Spirit, then you know we have true fellowship. It's as simple as that. Now, there is the danger of that distinction. Because I want to pop the question to you this evening. Have you noticed how difficult it is to have fellowship now that you know what it is? Sometimes it's really difficult to have fellowship with people now that you know what fellowship is. You try to figure it out, but you can't. And all that I'm saying this evening, watch with whom people make allegiance within their heart. If they've made an allegiance with somebody else other than God within their heart, I can tell you now, and I'm talking about Christians, can't follow God, don't hear God's voice, always hear another voice, always on another trend, another vibe. Never in that unity, never in that commonality. It's really difficult to talk to them. You don't see them. And you don't. I can tell you now, God's not part of it. He's not part of it. And that is why we get dropped so much. and people drop us in church and they don't apologize. They just move on. They don't have a clue what fellowship is. They drop you, they leave you, they just move on. And then you must get over it. That is wrong. It cannot be part of fellowship. Are you with me? It's a place where I come and I walk in the light and I say that I'm sorry and I see the true repentance within your heart and we move on. We talk about it. We move on. We have fellowship. We have fellowship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's beautiful. And so, you know what we do? We manage the outward. Now, it must be because his personality doesn't connect with me. We don't have anything in common. Yeah, now he has another personality. Oh, it's a personality. It's not a personality thing. It is not a personality thing. I can tell you now, this is a Holy Spirit thing. It changes. It cuts. That is how it is. And so, just notice the people that you do have fellowship with. Oh, isn't it beautiful to work together? Everything just connects. You have beautiful, important, you know, conversations. In 2-3 minutes, you make important decisions. You're just on the same page. And when the three of you, when you agree and you pray, God moves, you know. It's not the struggle. It's not in meetings where I was when you try to pray with people, but I don't know who you pray to, but there's just no connection. There's never breakthrough because there's no fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you know. Oh. And have you noticed, if you try to have fellowship, if you're a boy and you know you're spiritual and you're saved and you want to have fellowship with somebody that's not saved, ooh, the arguments. You argue and you argue and you say, God, please help. I must get her saved. I must get him saved. Oh, God, please. And you don't know. There's no fellowship. I'll tell you why. Scripture teaches, do not be unequally yoked. There's nothing wrong in terms of the fact that you're not connecting. It's just that Jesus is standing there and he's the stumbling block. The cross. I preach Christ crucified. The cross for us. It's everlasting life. But for others, it makes them stumble because they must bow the knee. If we want to have fellowship, then we must bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. It's a beautiful message. You know? And so my heart is that we will have the Holy Spirit amongst us, in us, to work through us so that we can work through everything. You can work through anything if you're obedient to the Holy Spirit. If you look at Foundations 3, Foundations 4, if you look at counseling, the people that has breakthrough has fellowship with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. They always get through their issues much quicker. Because it just brings you into that place of, I know where I am, I know where I belong. And people don't feel bad about when they struggle to work through their issues. Oh, it's so difficult this morning. This morning, it was just so difficult, but I know I'm moving. Because I'm having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I'm having fellowship. There's just this connection. It's so easy. You know, it's not one step forward and 50 steps back. People, I'm telling you, this is really heavy on my heart. We must learn to bow the knee in every situation. Learn to bow the knee. Don't be stubborn. You get nowhere. Paul, it's hard to kick against the goats. The goads. Not the goats. Sorry, the goads. Jesus said to Paul, jy weet hy skerp goedjies, as hy bil geloop het in die juk, en as hulle wil een kant toe gaan, en hy goedjies hulle gekap. That is what Jesus told the Apostle Paul when they walked, when he was on his way to Damascus and the light shone on him. It's hard to kick against the goads, Paul. It's me you're trying to pursue, but I want you to know, Apostle Paul, you must bow the knee. You're not having fellowship with me. You must bow your knee before me, and then you must listen to me. And then the converse, when Paul gets saved, he must go to Jerusalem And then he stands before the apostles, and all the apostles are scared. Then Barnabas must tell them, look, this man is saved. You can have fellowship with him. Come on, huh? It's not a one-way, it's a two-way street. We know what fellowship is. We see Jesus in people. We know where they're going. And it's beautiful. You know what's beautiful? And the Lord added to the church daily. When it's in order, the Lord adds to the church daily. The Lord adds to the church. It's a beautiful thing. It's so wonderful. Exmachana. I love it. Father, my heart this evening is that you will restore true biblical fellowship to your church. God, we pray that fellowship will not be about an event or things we need to do. But I'm trusting that true fellowship will lie in the fact that we serve Jesus, that we have the Holy Spirit, and that we can call you Daddy. Father, I pray that each and every person in this building will have the ability to see the Holy Spirit in somebody else's life. I pray that we will also have the ability to see the need in somebody else's life. I pray also that we will have the ability to see the need in the people that is outside of the church, those who are not being saved, that we will go out to them and that we will help them to connect with your voice so that they can understand the call into fellowship with Jesus. Father, your voice is calling so many people. Your voice is calling so many unbelievers. But God, your church is nowhere to proclaim it. Father, your son Jesus prayed and he said, pray to the Lord for the harvest. But not for the harvest. Pray for the laborers. God, there's nothing wrong with the harvest. There's something wrong with the laborers. The laborers are few. The laborers are lazy. The laborers are busy. The laborers are proud. But God, we pray that the laborers will have a change of heart, that they will have fellowship with you and with one another, and that they will call, Father, they will call unto your name, and that they will help people to understand where we need to go in fellowship. That is our heart. Dad, we want to thank you that you've started to build your church. It's a beautiful place. We have respect for your church. We have respect for your church. Your church helps us. Your church feeds us. Your church protects us. Your bride. You're so proud of your bride. And Father, this evening we want to proclaim and declare that we are so grateful and so proud to be part of your bride. Thank you for the church. In Jesus' name, amen. I really want to encourage you, if you're offended, if you are angry, I want you to go and sort it out. That's what fellowship means. We walk in the light, we live in the light. We listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't listen to other spirits because there are other spirits. And fellowship, it keeps you away from other spirits. You think you can't talk to your brother, you can't have fellowship, but you think you're connecting with God. Ooh, dangerous place to be. I'm telling you, really dangerous. Because you're opening yourself up to your stuff, contrary and outside of Scripture. I've learned this the hard way. You can believe me. You don't want to talk to people, but you want to talk alone to God. I'll tell you, you're deceived. And it's beautiful what Sia said. You first go and get the word from God. And then this evening I'm saying you come with this word to the congregation.
with the fellowship of the believers. You first hear that word from God, you first hear that word in Scripture, and then we come and we share, we talk about it. We reason, we sit down, we trust God just to release the fellowship. Just release it. And if it works, it's so beautiful. If the relationship works, the companionship, the stewardship, if it works, how did the church in Acts look? My word, it's a beautiful church. It's a vibrant church. It's a church that can change a nation in a blink of an eye. But the two most important things, if we can go to that, this is just that last scripture before I end off. I just want to show you something. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the first slide. And I just want to bring the balance here. Because for some people may think I'm emphasizing fellowship too much now. Can we go there? Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the first slide, or the second slide. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. There's also other aspects that I'm not preaching on here. Prayer, a church that does not pray will never grow in relationship to one another and to God. And another thing is the apostles' teaching. That was the word, the scripture, and what Jesus taught them. Now, those are the two primary things first. First, relationship with God in terms of prayer, and then studying scripture, the apostles' doctrine, the scripture, the Bible, the Holy Scripture. Those things helped in growth. But then there's the fellowship part. Because if they're in line and we have fellowship there with Christ, then with another. And then another important one that I'll teach on. And another time, breaking of bread. It's important to break bread together. And the Apostle Paul teaches that if you have a wrong heart in breaking bread, some of you are sick. You know, he teaches that with the right heart. So, just the balance. Just balance. And I'm trusting that God will make us family. Can we worship one song as a family? Just as a family. As a family. We are family. We are family. So please, different personalities, we do get angry with one another, but we don't sin. Scripture says get angry, but don't sin. We do have arguments, but we sort it out. Just the big difference is, we cannot save one another. That is what we sometimes try. We try to save people. We want to be Jesus. We can't. Can make them understand the poor, but we cannot save them.